Good morning and welcome. It's good to see you here, whether you haven't been for a while or you've been coming every week. It's good to gather together, to share together, because as we share, something of God's peace can come anew into our lives. Congratulations to all those who entered the Tear Fund quiz last night. Congratulations to those who organised it. A splendid new event for our church. The hall next door was jam-packed full. Double the numbers people were expecting, and £450 was raised for Tear Fund for the poorest of the world. And it was a great event of people from Macduff and Banff sharing together, and King Edward. And if you were so moved, you could even make an extra donation today to Tear Fund by giving something to elders as you leave. But a sign of how good can come as people share together and even have fun together. I think that's going to be part of our thoughts today as we think about how we all worry too much, if you're anything like most of us. And yet the Bible says this: I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you and will not slumber. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And the key to our worries is somehow exerting our faith when times get hard. And then we can find that peace, that strength, that spirit, if we actually pass into God's hands everything that's going on in our lives. So we sing three verses of Mission Praise, 133, Father, I place into your hands. Does anybody here not worry about things? What about you, Casey? Do you worry about some things? Don't know. It would be great if you don't. I hope you, but you'll probably end up like nobody's raised their hand yet. We all worry as adults, probably far too much about things. I suspect even Isaac, my son there, worries about things like if he's not getting his food at the right time. And I'm worrying at the moment about whether he's going to run chaotically around. What about George? Do you worry at all, George? No? Good boy. Well done. I hope you're like that for the rest. Maybe you can teach us the answers, George. Sometimes we can learn from you. It's not easy. I was worrying a few months ago about our church because, sadly, Eleanor and Charlie, who have been stalwarts in our church, are leaving, and this is their last Sunday present. I don't know if Eleanor's here. Where's Charlie? Oh, you were looking. quietly sitting there. We'll be sorry to see you go. Very sorry. Thank you for all you've done. But a couple of months ago, I and others were worried, how are we going to cope? How are we going to cope with a church? Eleanor was helping organise the Tear Fund quiz. Charlie was helping present it. How are we going to cope without those two people here? And you can worry about it, and yet we shouldn't, because God is actually at work. And it's great to be able to tell you that instead of Eleanor and Charlie, we have two new people to be session clerks. Instead of one session clerk, who's the person, George and Casey, a session clerk is probably words you don't need to know about, but they're people who help run the church. And we had one called Eleanor, and now we've got two. It's really good. We've got a session clerk called Irene. Where's Irene? Oh, no, yeah, that's no good. You'll need to stand, Irene. And we've got an assistant session clerk called Margaret. And if the two of you can stand, please, so that George and Casey can see you. They're two really nice people, and they're now going to help run the church as session clerk and assistant session clerk. So you may now sit down. And we're so grateful. Irene was a head teacher for some years, and she was also the daughter of Charlie Finlayson, some of you may remember, who was a long-standing leader of our church for many years. And Margaret is a choir member, as you can see. I'm going to throw in an extra fact about her. She loves Nadal, the tennis player. And so when we were meant to be praying next door in the church, in the hall for our service, Margaret took up 30 seconds of our time to tell us how wonderful Nadal was in making a comeback from being three sets down. 5-1 down, and he won yesterday. So that's Margaret, who's a choir member, a follower of tennis, and also a former teacher at the Academy of Modern Languages. And it's good news. So sometimes when you worry about things, George and Casey, God brings about really good answers for us. And Jesus tells us not to worry. We worry about things too much. And he says, if you're really worried, ask God. And if you don't seem to get the answer, go and look for the answers with God's help. And just keep asking. Keep asking. He said this, if a father or a mother, and if you go to your father or your mother and you ask for something, are they going to give you something really bad like a scorpion or a snake? No, they won't. Do you think your mum, Casey, would give you a scorpion when you're actually wanting a bit of chocolate? No, she wouldn't. And Jesus says, God's like that. He's our Heavenly Father who will help us if we just keep asking. And he encourages all of us, when we're worried, to pass our worries to God. And I would encourage you, George, when you finally get something to worry about, ask God for his help. We're going to do that just now in a wee prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you're like a loving parent, and when we're worried, we can pass our worries to you. So be with George and be with Casey, be with Isaac and all the other young people connected with our church, and may they always know that you are their loving Heavenly Father who cares for them. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now a song just reminding us to keep asking God, and he'll hear us when we do. It's called Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. We worry about things unnecessarily, don't we? I confess and I apologise to our church secretary, Janet, for the last hymn there. I got distracted waving to my wee son. And then I thought, hey, why hasn't she moved on to verse 2? It's time to move on to verse 2. I had got distracted and I was getting worried. Why isn't she moved? We sing it twice. I forgot. And I got worried. And I needn't have got worried. And I needed just to trust the church secretary. But I passed my worry on to her, and between the two of us, we were getting stressed until I realized, is there not a truth in there about our lives, how we get worried so easily? Where our readings today are going to give us guidance. Last week, we thought about war and peace and how peace at a cost can be found for our world when we do our bit. And maybe the truth is there also for how we can get inner peace. There are clues from our readings today about how we can know God's peace. And so our first reading comes from Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7. And Jim's going to read it for us now.
No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Thanks, Jim. For those of us who are worriers, and I think it's most of us, There's guidance here for us to help us. We worry about a lot of the things that we really shouldn't be worrying about. I've given you one small example. It's a question of exerting our trust sometimes, not to worry. Jesus challenges us, do not worry. He doesn't mean, I don't believe, there's nothing to worry about at all in life. Jesus was anxious in the Garden of Gethsemane and passed his worries to God at that point. There are worries in life, there are troubles, there are great difficulties, but we need to control our worry because it can grow and grow and grow. And it's a question of where we put our focus at such times. Do not serve two masters. We can worry about Christmas presents just now for the next month if we want, but does it really matter that much? We can worry about winter coming, but we'll get through it as we have in the past. We can worry about so many things for the future when Jesus says, just deal with today's problems, with the issues in front of you. There's guidance. And then he gives this guidance. Please go and ask God and then trust him. Because so often we go to God and then we don't keep asking and keep asking because it's in the asking that we share and we open up. And maybe that's part of what he means by ask and seek and knock. Keep asking so that you really open up and can hear his answers, because sometimes they aren't what we hope. There's things I pray for and I haven't had the answer that I hoped for, and I'm sure this is for you, but just maybe God's giving us different answers and we need to listen for them. It's in the sharing with God and letting our cries out that we can actually pass our worries to him and then hear his peace and his guidance. And sometimes the answer is not to focus on the thing we're worried about. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Sometimes the answer is forget about that thing we're worried about and get on and do your bit to share his goodness with others. And sometimes that's maybe why our reading finished with, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And just sometimes we get so hung up on our own problems, we forget we're here to do something to help others with their problem. We're getting little clues for how we can deal with our worries today. But at the heart, it's about passing them over to God and not taking them back. Let's do that just for a moment in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to be with you today and to share with you and to share with each other and to pass our concerns to you. We thank you that we can gather here and open our hearts to you and share our deepest thoughts with you. Some of us come with joy in our hearts. Something good might have happened. Or we've noticed the sun shining today. Some of us come maybe a bit low and tired or weary or hurting. Whatever stage of life we're at, we come to be with you, the living God, the God of the universe and the God who's a heavenly Father who cares for each of us gathered here. So hear our prayer as once more we lay our lives before you. The bad as well as the good, the worries as well as the joys, the sadness as well as the goodness. Hear our prayers and forgive us for all the times we haven't turned to you or we haven't listened for your guidance or your strength or your spirit. Forgive us and hear us now as even in a moment's silence, we pass again to you the things that worry us most. Heavenly Father, thank you that in the clamour and noise and busyness of all our activities, we can know your peace. Amongst chaos and trouble, you bring sense and purpose. Amongst darkness and despair, you bring hope and light and goodness. Hear us and be close to us in the days to come, and help us to be close to you. So hear our prayers, which once again we sum up in the words Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. More guidance on our worries comes to us from St. Paul, who knew his troubles. And he wrote to the church in Corinth, which knew their troubles. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city full of danger and darkness and misdeeds. And in amongst all that big city, there were small churches growing. And Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to them. And you'll find that that church wasn't very different to churches today. They had their difficulties, they had their problems, they even had their disputes and their worries. But in amongst it, Paul wrote to guide them. And so we hear from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some of Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Paul wrote to a troubled church with internal disputes and with problems around them, and he said, grace and peace is possible. And it's a message for us in our lives. Whatever's going on, his grace and his peace is there for us. But we have to open up to it. We have to open up to it. And part of it, Paul says, it's about knowing you're called with a purpose to be his people, to be his holy people, to be people open to God and to doing God's work. And that's exciting, that whatever stage of life we're at, we've got a purpose, and that purpose can bring us peace. And the peace can also come in knowing that God is faithful. He has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's called you to be part of his church, working together in fellowship. Things like Tear Fund last night were a sign of that fellowship. People working together. We're called for a purpose. So sometimes our worries can get smaller when we see we each of us have got a purpose. But we have our problems, we have our issues. And in that early church, there was issues over who they're following. Is it Paul? Is it Jesus? Is it another leader called Apollos? And he said, work out your problems. Sometimes peace comes by seeking to work peace with others that we've got disputes with. And the key to it is knowing, not that we're wonderful human beings, but in our weakness, we can then open up and find the power of the cross, the power of Jesus Christ. In his very weakness, actually, God was at work. It's in our weakness, when we cry out to God and listen for his answers, that we can find new grace and new peace. Know that in amongst all your worries, God can be at work when we open up to him. We sing again, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. That's the key to finding peace, letting Christ in and opening up to him. But it's not easy to know that peace day by day. It's not easy to stop worrying. It's not easy in a world where there are difficulties, and even in church there can be disputes. Well, it was like that for Paul. There were people in the fellowship in Philippi who were at odds with each other, and he had to write to them how to try and bring about peace. And he talks about how he wasn't perfect. He was still trying to grow in that peace. He was still trying to keep going, and that's part of the answer. And so there are some more clues about how we can open up more to the peace of Christ in his letter to the Philippians, and we hear now some more clues in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Philippians.
Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles.
Thank you, Jim. We do not follow a savior, a friend, a guide, who tells us the world's just going to be perfect now and that our lives are going to be full of peace without trouble. Paul knew trouble, the early church in Corinth knew trouble, but his peace can somehow come into whatever's going on in our lives and help us journey forward with an inner strength and peace that sometimes can amaze us. Paul knew troubles, and they hit him hard, but he pressed on and kept going. And that's sometimes the clue for us, not to give up, but to keep going, knowing that God has a purpose, knowing that he's faithful. His strength can carry us through if we pass our worries to him. But there are other clues in there for us. Paul says, rejoice. You remember we've talked about it a lot, the times Paul was in prison, in chains, and he sang with his fellow colleague and cheered up the other prisoners. Singing can help us rejoice. That's why it's important in church we sing well, and we'll have two people to help us sing the next hymn, just so that we can let out our worries in singing. Rejoicing and being thankful, said Paul. I don't know if you're anything like me. Most of my prayers are, dear God, please, please can you help with this? Please can you help with that? And how often, more often, should you be saying, thank you, Lord, for that blessing yesterday, that good thing that happened last week, or these things that have journeyed with me, my wife, over 3.5 years or whatever it is. I don't even thank her for that. Thankfulness can take our focus away from the things we're worried about to God and the things we should be concerned about. And so taking things to God, Paul says, but being thankful and seeking to rejoice, it's almost a bit of willpower to take our focus onto other things which often can be more important. And then he says, and it comes through in various places, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Paul got help from the church of Corinth. Paul got help from various people. Sometimes our worries cause us to close in. And yet there's actually sources of help from God and from other people around us. Use help and take your troubles and your worries and share them. Don't just hold on to them. Sharing is good. And maybe our offerings, which we take now, can remind us of that. Our offerings will be uplifted. Let us join together in prayer for others. Let us pray. Father, we bring our offerings and we pray that they will help your church share your goodness, your guidance, your love, your truth, and your peace with people in need in our community and even further. Father, there are so many people in need in Banff, in our community, and we pray that we can each be people who share your peace. So often we fail, Lord, forgive us, but help us, your church, be peace bearers to young and old, sharing the good news of Jesus that he can bring peace into a troubled world. And so we ask for your blessing on all the things that go on in and through our church and its organizations. We pray that we can share your fellowship with people in need, close and far. We pray for people with health issues at this time, mental health or physical health, issues about which they're worrying. And we pray for our National Health Service around us in our community. As we hear about the night service of Chalmers Hospital closing in the near future, we pray for guidance for those making these decisions. We pray for nurses, for doctors, for all who work to bring health and peace of mind to those who are worried and in trouble. Bless them in their work, Lord, we pray. We pray for our schools, for teachers who work there, for classroom assistants and all who help in schools, that children might know your goodness, your guidance, your love. Hear our prayers for our community and for the wider world. So troubled at this time, Lord, we pray even in our elections to come that you will raise up leaders open to your guidance and your peace. Hear our prayers for others and all the people that we're quietly worried about. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We've been working our way through the BBC Songs of Praise list of the nation's favourite hymns, and we come now to Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, which is the fourth favourite hymn. The hymn has a unique origin. It draws on a poem, The Brewing of Soma, by the Christian Quaker John Whittier. Soma was a sacred ritual drink in Vedic Indo-Iranian religions with drug-like properties in which priests and people would get drunk in order, they believed, to experience the divine. The author of our hymn contrasts that with the true way to God, following Jesus in simple trust and service and quietly opening to God's peace and finding his still small voice of calm in the way that Elijah found it, in the quietness, not in the dramatic. We're going to be helped to lead it by James and Irene, who are going to help present it. Just two people who will be closer to us to help back up the choir singing it. So we sing five verses of Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
peace. We thought of War and Peace last week. In truth, inside ourselves, there's a bit of war and peace that can go on. We do get stressed. We do keep focusing on all the what ifs. And we do worry. Even if we haven't got something to worry about, we somehow think we should be worrying. Some of us draw up long lists of the things that we should worry about. And then the cartoon on the right says, "You worry too much, it doesn't do any good." And the person replies, "Well, it does for me. 95% of the things I worry about never happen." Shouldn't that tell us something? We worry too much. It can take away our peace even. And the Bible has a lot to tell us, if you care to look, about how we can get a better perspective of anxiety. But for now, just hear Jesus' challenge to us. Do not worry about tomorrow. Get that perspective of trusting and cutting out some of the things that you worry about. Getting a balance of perspective. And it's not a false, pious, saintly, like, blessed are me, I'm not going to worry today. It's a gutsiness that's required, the sort of gutsiness that you see in Jesus Christ. When he came at the time of worry that most of us would have, facing his death, and he found peace sharing with his disciples and said, "In amongst all this chaos, my peace I leave to you." It's a reading we use often at funerals because his peace can be found even when we're facing the hardest of situations. It's a peace we'll think about in coming weeks that can give us a warm feeling inside at times when we think of Christmas and the coming of the Christ child, but it's far more than just a Christmas peace. It's a real peace for the world as we know it. Jeremiah spoke about, don't go around saying peace, peace, when there is peace. Yes, we've got a vision of a better kingdom to come. But for now, there are issues to be dealt with. And the sort of peace that we have has to recognize the issues of our world that we can do something about. It's the sort of peace that requires us to speak up when we see something wrong, as we did in our church Facebook yesterday, when we heard that Chalmers Hospital night service is going to be closed. And we need to speak up about issues like that. It's the sort of peace that recognizes the troubles going on in our world and says we'll do something about it by holding a tear fund quiz as we did last night. It's not a blind peace. It's maybe the sort of peace that Prince Andrew can maybe find by addressing the things, if he did them, the things that he did wrong. And sometimes that's what we need to do. If there's things that we've done wrong, we actually need to address them. It's a gutsy peace, is the sort of peace that Jesus offers us, but says it's real and it can come into our lives. He came to the disciples when they were closed in after Easter and afraid, and he offered them peace, but at the same time he sent them out to go and share forgiveness and share his guidance and share his peace. The peace we can have is not just that of drugs or Eastern religions that says, I'll close in on myself. It's a peace that gives us a purpose and puts our worries into perspective as we go about caring for others. It's a peace that can be with us no matter what's going on, knowing that God is with us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and God will not abandon us. It's a peace that's there in the mess of our faith, in the mess of our lives, as it was in the early church, with all our weaknesses. Because that saying, let go and let God, is easy to say, but it's so hard to do in practice. We've got to work at it. We hold on to so many things. I'll go past that. You know what you hold on to, the worries you hold on to. Does it really matter if Nadal's going to win his next game? Well, if it does, then go and support him. Do something. That's the challenge we face from Paul. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. That means animals were actually closely tied to their guide. Are we closely tied to our guide that we let him, when we're praying and crying out to him, let him guide us? There's things I pray about and I ask God for. Am I actually listening for his guidance, or am I just blindly saying, give me this? Prayer's a two-way thing, but he will guide us through them if we keep asking. Know that for sure. But we have to be open to his guidance and let his peace in. Paul said this, take your worries to God by prayer, by petition, and with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And that's a means of switching our focus away from what I'm worried about now to remembering that God is with us. Do you give thanks to God day by day for all your blessings? The old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. It's a way of helping us cope with our worries and not just focus on them. So keep asking, seeking, and knocking, but listen for his answers. And the challenge which Jesus gives us is what we sang about. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. When I'm worried about little things, maybe I need to be doing that. Focusing on the bigger things of God's goodness for others around me. At our faith discovery class this week, we thought about the reading last week from Samuel and how Samuel heard God calling, but he didn't at first know it was God calling. And Samuel had to go and share with Eli and then realize it was God calling him to a purpose. And we wondered, are we like that? Do we not quite hear what God's saying to us? And do we need to share our troubles and hear what God might be saying to us? And the answer is God is calling to each of us. We heard that in Paul's readings. And we have a purpose, whatever situation we're worried about. We have a purpose and God is calling to us. Are we listening? Because that purpose can carry us through our troubles. Jesus said we've got a purpose. We're called into his fellowship and we need to listen for his challenge of what we can be doing. Our fellowship group in the church is disbanding because they don't have anybody to lead it. Is there somebody here that might be God's call to actually offer monthly lunches the way they did for our community? What is God calling you to do? Because it can be the answer to the things that you're worried about, or it can be the answer to give you the perspective about your worries. And so again, we see there the mention of the word call. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you. It comes when we listen to his call of what we're to do. It comes amidst our weakness, not our strength, because it's when we're weak that we cry out, and when we're crying out, we open up and we can maybe hear his guidance. Jesus tells us again and again, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble around. So in everything, focus on what God is wanting you to do. In Philippians, we got different means of guidance. It's about opening up to others. It's about rejoicing when you can. It's about living graciously. And it's about praying and opening up to God. It's about focusing on what is true and what is good and what is admirable. I don't know all the answers. I'm still somebody trying to learn how to have peace when you get worried. But there's guidance for each of us in our lives if we open up to these readings and to the guidance of Jesus. And so I just want to finish with those words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and asking, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not in an abstract world where we don't face troubles or disputes or sickness or cancer, but a world where his peace can come into the midst of it if we open up to him and to others and seek his way forward. Amen. We close our service by singing, "Through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well." So go from here knowing that God is faithful. Open up to him day by day with your prayers and with thanksgiving. And go from here, and may the God of peace we know as Father, as Son, and as living Holy Spirit guard and guide you this day and in all your days to come. Amen.